Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of Afternoons is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Save 10% during the Beat the Heat sales event. Visit eastcoastmetalroofing.com for details.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons on a Monday afternoon at Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Hurry in for your last chance to get employee pricing for all during the Great American Sales Event. You got to hurry for that. You also got to hurry because it's time for Dan Ball's favorite segment, the three-point stance.
319!
Yeah, there you go!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
I maintain that my favorite segment is always the Quiz with Stiz. Might be Andy's More Likely, though.
Oh, yeah. I do like More Likely.
Yeah, yeah, it's growing on me a little bit.
I heard there's going to be a Fitzy 5 today at 5:30.
Yeah, but no one likes it. I mean, what?
Oh, boy. Okay. Today's three-point stance. That's what it's time for here on WEEI Afternoons. Just awkward enough. And it's brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you're standing between Hart and Fitzy right now, you got to get Glassman, and you can call all sevens at 617-777-7777. As it is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, we have three hosts, each of which will present their stance on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Each host will get 60 seconds to present their opening stance, after which we will open up for discussion on each. I've pulled a move that I did not ask permission for, but I'm doing it anyways.
Whoa.
I've called in a celebrity for my three-point stance here today.
Tom Hanks?
Yes, as a matter of fact, with assistance from Joe Kelly. Our order today is Andy Hart and then Nick Fitzy Stevens, and then from WEEI, WEEI.com, and Jones and Keefe. My man, Justin Turpin.
Surprise.
Wow.
What's up,
Turp? What's up, guys?
Turp. How are we doing? It's a Turp chirp. I love it.
Yes, that's what it is.
How you doing, man?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, what's up? Do you feel like, are you in your element right now with the NBA free agency coming up, the trades happening, or do you feel a little lost because the Celtics haven't played meaningful basketball in over a month?
It feels crazy that it's already been like 50 days since they played a meaningful basketball game.
That's unbelievable.
Like, it feels like it was just yesterday.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited to get some action in this offseason here.
Excuse me?
Amen. Once you're 50, forget it. I'm going to need some Cornette talk.
I love it. I'm all for Cornette talk. That's the big topic right now.
All right, let's move on.
Okay. That is our order. Andy Hart, since you are so impatient, are you ready?
I am indeed.
All right, your 60 seconds, Stiz, begin right now.
So you were very excited about the pitching matchup tonight.
I was.
And Bradford was too. Did you hear him? Oh, first round pick from a year ago on the mound against Crochet. You know what? There's a big show tonight here at Fenway Park, but to me, it's in the dugouts. Tito Francona leading the Cincinnati Reds into town against Alex Cora. I think the two greatest Red Sox managers in the history of the organization, because they are modern managers. So I tend to give them the benefit of the doubt. I know they're, you told me, Dan Ball, second and third on the wins list for the team. But to me, managing baseball in Boston in the year 2000 and beyond is a massive challenge. Think about sort of the history that's gone through that. You're not just chasing championships. You're not just battling the Yankees. You have general managers that are leaving the organizations in gorilla suits. You just have beer and chicken and media and the Boston Globe writing schmear pieces and hit pieces and all these things. It is a horrific job, honestly. You're going to age exponentially in that job. We saw it happen to Tito. He got worn down. He got run out of town. We are now, I think, in the wearing down of Cora, maybe run him out of town soon phase of things. But tonight, two very likable, affable, smart baseball men will be going head-to-head at Fenway Park. The two greatest managers in the history of this organization. Tito Francona, woo, won the World Series. Alex Cora, woo, won the World Series.
Woo. All right. The Homer Honk speaks for itself. They earned it. All right, we'll discuss. We'll get into thoughts? That in just a moment.
Oh, he's such a homer. He's such a
cynical,
homer.
Negative bum.
Whoa, I mean, whoa, boy.
There is a manager with like 400 more wins than either one of them. But
yeah, you looked it up.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, but you didn't know him until you looked it up.
I mean, I know the name. I know his number's retired. I did not know how much better he was than everybody.
What about Morgan Magic? What about Johnny Mack? What about Dick
Morgan Williams? Magic was fun. That's fun. McNair was fun. Yeah, that one strike away was great.
Was it his fault that Calvin Charlie spit the bit that Bob Stanley threw that ball away? Actually, it was his fault. Should have had Dave Stapleton at first.
He did play a role in that. So.
He did.
I'm just telling you, you got a couple guys with rings and that I think did great jobs under very difficult circumstances in the pack tonight.
All right. We'll put our pin in that because Fitzy, your time is now. Are you ready?
Oh, why not?
All right. Well, your 60 seconds and that positive attitude continue right now.
All right. Well, time to talk a little football on this afternoon program. Bucky Brooks at NFL.com, one of their finest writers, put up a piece today about some dark horse candidates for MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and more in the 2025 NFL calendar. Some fun names out there like Baker Mayfield, Josh Jacobs, Will Anderson on Houston, and R.J. Harvey, the running back in Denver, to which I would like to say, yes, all of those are valid candidates possibly for many awards in the upcoming NFL season. However, Patriots fans, do not feel excluded. Do not feel left out because, in my estimation this year, and I don't think this is Hot Take Central population me, you do have people like Christian Gonzalez, who very well could find himself in the Defensive Player of the Year contention. You have people like Christian Barmore, who I believe could very well be a Comeback Player of the Year candidate. And if he is able to keep up with the positive upward trajectory that he's been on since he was drafted in the second round, 38th overall in the 2025 draft, you could have people like my guy, Travion Henderson, entering the Offensive Rookie of the Year chat as well. So Pats fans, while everyone likes to make noise about everyone else and their fancy players, take heart. You may have a couple of keepers there yourself. Whoa, and I got out half a second early.
That's what she said.
Okay.
I don't even know what that means, and why did she say it?
I have thoughts.
Really?
I do.
Perfect.
But
all
I
right.
can save them until the Terp Man chirps in.
Well, it's an honor to have you for your first three-point chance. So
nervous?
No, I'm ready
Turpin
to go.
Style.
I've never done one of these, so I am worried about messing up the timing, though.
Yeah.
Oh, don't. Ted sometimes does 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, and sometimes, if we're being honest, Stiz forgets to start the clock, and you don't actually have a buzzer.
Yeah, once it gets, once that beeping gets louder and louder.
And then
pressure.
Sometimes Andy yells at the clock, and the funny thing is time has no feelings.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It's very true.
All right, Turp, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, Stiz, his 60 seconds begin right now.
Does it come now?
No!
Oh, all right. So, as we know, it's going to be
sorry, Turp.
I thought I was going to
thank you very much.
Like,
there's some turtle wax and Rice-A-Roni for you at the door. All right, let's restart. Right, your time begins now.
Yeah. All right, as we know, it's already been a very busy offseason for the Celtics, parting ways with two members of a starting lineup from a championship team, and it's only going to get busier. That's why we're in here today. That's why Dan brought me in. NBA free agency begins tonight, so the job for Brad Stevens and the new ownership group led by Bill Chisholm is only going to get harder. And a big name that we've seen floating around as a potential trade candidate is Sam Hauser. He's entering the first year of his four-year, $45 million extension, making a very manageable $10 million for the first 2 years before it jumps to $11 and $12 million. So he's been a common trade target, and I don't think that should be the case for the Celtics. When you look at what he's been able to do for this team, obviously developing from Maine, that's a cool story, but it has nothing to do with it. He was a plus 10 net rating this year, was fourth among reserves that played at least 60 games. If you're looking at this as the gap year it was with Tatum, the lineups with Jason Tatum and Sam Hauser were plus 12.2 net rating, one of the best on the team. He's never shot below 40% in the NBA, high school, or college. He's an unbelievable floor spacer. It's tough to find that consistency at that value. So I think there are other ways. The Celtics obviously have more moves to get to. That threw me off there. Need $4.5 million under. So Anthony Simons, George Niang, those are ones that you can move off. I would keep Sam Hauser from the Boston Celtics.
All right. Well done,
timing.
Yeah, you do.
You had a couple seconds, but that's okay.
Yeah, that was well done.
I mean, for a first 3-point stance, pretty impressive.
Absolutely.
Right.
And
Hauser.
So on the table, it is an all-time managerial matchup with respect to Red Sox fans, Cora and Tito tonight. Some dark horse honors for Patriots players from NFL.com. And then the idea of Sam Hauser. So I want to start there as Justin Turpin is our guest here on this segment. You mentioned the numbers with Jason Tatum and Sam Hauser and how they play together when they're together in the lineup. So how does a Sam Hauser role change, grow, develop in a Tatum-less offense, in your estimation?
I think for the most part, it stays the same. I mean, it's going to be a little bit different for everybody in the offense. They're going to play faster, and Brad Stevens made that clear after the draft in his draft night presser, and I think mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown at the helm of the offense is automatically going to make them a faster team, so he's going to have to adjust to that, but he can play in transition, and he can be what happened.
He said, I'm nodding approval.
You say faster, he's nodding approval. Right. I doubt that means better.
Yeah.
Definitely faster.
But this is, everyone's looking at this year as a gap year for Jason Tatum, right? Like, they want to build the roster for when Tatum's back.
Yeah.
Looking at guys like Niang and, in particular, Anthony Simons, it's going to be tough to extend Simons anyways, making close to $27 million this year, and that extension's probably going to be in the same ballpark.
Ooh.
They just parted ways with Drew Holiday, who was making close to 30. So mm-hmm. wouldn't you have rather just kept Drew Holiday if that was the case, if you were just going to cut salary right. and extend him to the same thing? So
a little younger, but
a little bit younger. And I think
he'll score more. I think if they're going to hold on to Simons, though, Terp, it feels like they're going to hold on to him because they're going to need more speed and more offense on the floor. But Simons, basically, it feels like you're posturing that moving on from Simons makes more sense because Hauser is cheaper and very dependable. He's kind of an underrated your type of guy.
And more importantly, he fits great with Jason Tatum. And I think people also forget how good he was during the NBA Finals. Like, he played some of his best games during the NBA Finals, and that can't be overstated. So I think the Celtics should be looking to keep him more than they should be Simons, because it's already going to be tough to extend him, and you got Hauser under contract at a very reasonable number.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think for them is he fits their what they want to do, and he's cost effective, so that really fits overall what they want to do right
now. Does Simons fit what they want to do?
Not really. Well, I mean, he shoots threes. He wants to jack up threes. Like, no, I know. That's my point. But
you already have what?
$30 million.
Yeah, you already have a guy that can shoot the three pretty well. And Hauser, do you need another one? And also, you don't even know what you have yet in my guy Shireman.
Also,
The
thing with Simons as well is the defensive backcourt with Peyton Pritchard, who is a decent defender for his size. He's always going to have natural limitations.
Right.
That's just the reality. Mm-hmm. Anthony Simons, I mean, some say he doesn't play a lick of defense.
He doesn't.
So you're going to have...
Nope. You know who some would be? His former team, I think.
Correct. So
you're going to have... And anyone that's watched him.
A defensive backcourt of those two for a team that really likes to pride itself defensively. Now, I think Joe Mazzulla could really help him grow in that regard on the defensive side of the ball. I think what he's done, Joe Mazzulla, to the defense has been criminally overlooked. I mean, he finished second, and fourth in defensive rating in the 3 years that he's been here. And it also helps to have more talented players around you. I don't think, even at this current stage, I think people would take this Celtics roster over any roster he played with in Portland, specifically as it pertains to their defenders. So, yeah, you have better defenders around you. It's going to make you a better defender also.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm fine with keeping Hauser. I think long-term cost effectiveness, they're still going to jack up threes. It's not like they're going dramatically away from that
mm-hmm.
world. Just, I agree with you, and I like your tone. With JB running the show, there's going to be a little different vibe to this team.
Hey, all right,
straight up said it.
Terp, so we got to get to the bottom of this. So Horford is a top target for the Warriors, apparently, and the Spurs are hot on Kornet. If you lose Horford and Kornet and you have traded away Porzingis, where's the size coming from on this team next year?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, which I would believe that's why a Simons trade would come in the near future. I mean, they have to get moving on this. Obviously, free agency opens tonight. Horford and Kornet are free to go wherever. Now, I think they would wait to see if the Celtics have an offer. They wouldn't just run off and, you know, sign right away, at least see what the Celtics can do. But they have to act quickly because other teams are going to be trying to. So they need to retain at least one of them. And both of them would be the dream for the Celtics. And Brad Stevens said that is their priority the other day. So, yeah, I mean, they need the size. You can't go into the season with just Xavier Tillman and Namish Keita. That cannot happen.
No, you cannot. Who's your preference, Andy, between Kornet and Horford? Who are you prioritizing? Because they're probably going to cost about the same.
I'm okay moving on for both, quite honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Where would the size come from?
That's where the genius, Brad. Everybody tells me he's the
about
biggest
his guy?
Genius ever.
Hugo Gonzalez. Or wait, what about Amari
Williams?
Williams, yeah.
He's a little bit more raw. That's why he was available so late in the draft.
Wait a minute. I heard, what's his name? Mike, who's the guy that did the press conference after day two of the draft?
Mike Zarin.
Yeah. And he's like, he's the best passer in college basketball. He's the best this. He's the best that. And I'm thinking, boy, this guy should have gone higher in the draft if he's as good as 50s.
I know.
Which also could play into them playing faster. You have a passing big. And, you know, I will give you a stat on Amari Williams.
Love
pretty interesting.
Who doesn't
115 assists last year, is tied for the Kentucky League most ever by a 7-footer at Kentucky.
Come on now.
This style of basketball where you have a big leading your team in assists, I'm in on.
You know who's also a great
Jaylen
passer?
Jaylen Brown throwing the ball all over the court.
No, you know what that tells me? Outlet passes, he rebounds, he gets it out, and we get a dunk 3 steps later for JB. 4-2.
Celtics only trail by 19 at the half.
That's a problem, and that's a possibility. I acknowledge that possibility. They could be more enjoyable to watch lose.
In defeat, yes.
Luke Kornet, also an excellent passer, specifically out of the short role. So
you've got me a little bit excited about Celtics basketball.
I think I'm going to let Horford go. I think I'm going to trade Simons. I'm going to keep Kornet, and then I'm going to use the rest of that money on, is there a discount guard or like a small wing that we could add to the mix for that, for the money that's left?
This will still be a destination, I think. Like, it's a gap year, and they're still going to be pretty good in this gap year. Like, they're going to make the playoffs. It's hard to make it's hard to miss the postseason in the NBA. So many teams make it, and this team still has. I mean, look at, like, in the last 2 years, all their starting five, granted three of them will be gone, were considered all-stars, right? Like, Derek on the fringe, Jaylen Brown and Derek White. Right, those guys are all stepping up a notch now. They're all taking a step forward. Like, as much as people are talking about Jaylen as the one, what does Derek White look like as a two? Like,
I'm concerned.
I think he's totally capable of it.
I do too. Fan of his.
I think one of the hardest things to do in any sport is go to, you call on me occasionally to have a big game, and then, oh, you call on me every night to have a big game? That is a big leap.
There's going
to
be a learning curve.
He has to score 20 points a game.
Probably.
You ask a number two receiver who always works well because the number one receiver gets most of the top cornerback. Now, all of a sudden, as a two receiver, I have to deal with the top corner and all those.
And I like Derek White. I do think he's become a little bit overrated. That was one of my 3-point stances last week when we were talking about Brown and White in the same conversation of these crazy packages. Yeah. I'm like, those two guys aren't the same. Why are we suddenly like lumping them together like you have two marquee players up for trade?
Another one I want to look at is Peyton Pritchard. Like, every time that guy's been given an extended opportunity, he's made the most of it.
He does. Every he maximizes his ops.
As long as he doesn't play the match.
We'll see if he's in the starting lineup next year. Obviously, there's still more moves to come. I think if Simons does stay, which I'd really put it like a 5 to 10% chance, I really do not see
him. Oh, that low?
Yeah, I do not see him.
You think he's on the way out?
He's on the way out. He's
They haven't even finalized his deal yet, right?
Yeah, right. And again, well, that's because they have to wait until...
What, new league year?
July 6th. Oh. Yeah, so they have to wait another week till it could be final. But
who do you think, this is fun having someone in to talk a little extra hoops with. Who do you think has improved themselves the most thus far?
Thus far?
Yeah.
Around the league?
Yeah.
Or in the East? Houston. Houston.
Houston. Definitely. See, Andy hates the KD trade.
That's just because I hate KD. I think KD makes every team he's on work.
They needed a big voice in that room, somebody that's been there and done that.
Yeah, Ime.
Young team. Ime, and he's doing a great job.
I think Ime and KD are going to butt heads.
I think they're going to work well together.
I mean, they already worked well together. Well,
the under.
Really well, but KD played well when they were in Brooklyn together.
And what about in the East? The Magic were already scrappy enough. Yeah. And now adding Bane, like
three wrecks.
Now they, yeah.
I love that. I love the Desmond Bane trade. Yeah. I think that team is already going to make noise. They're a young team, and they were banged up last year. I maintain when the Celtics were playing them in the playoffs last year, that had they not been riddled by injuries, they would have finished way better than what their regular season record shown. So I think they were better than what they might have shown on the surface last year.
For sure.
All right, Terp, thanks for stopping by for 3-point stance. Next time, remember, you don't need to freak out when you hear that. As Fitzy said, Ted just plows right through the buzzer sometimes. So just ignore the buzzer.
It is intimidating, though. It takes a little while to get used.
Absolutely.
Like, if Ted doesn't like the outcome of the game, he used to stay on the field until he got
there. We also learned don't ever go on Jeopardy, because apparently if you made it to Final Jeopardy, you would freak F out and not have an answer, and you'd lose everything that you wager.
When the people, I watched that Family Feud, like the end. When
you would freak out.
No, I'd be, I would be.
Or at least you need to practice more. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we talked a little Celtics basketball with Terp. We're going to talk a little Bruins. Not only did they make a pick in the top 10 of the draft on Friday night, they got my guy, James Hagans, out of BC, staying close to his college home, not going to his home with the Islanders. We also need to talk about NHL free agency trades, lots of reports and rumors and everything that could involve Pasta and Marchand and Cummings and Goings. A little Bruins talk up next with Puckhead Dan Ball, who will also have What's Trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. The Red Sox fell to the Toronto Blue Jays yesterday afternoon at Fenway Park. The final score was 5-3. Walker Buehler gave up 4 earned runs over 4 innings. His ERA in June is currently sitting at 11.07. Boston welcomes the Cincinnati Reds to Fenway Park for a 3-game series as their homestand continues. First pitch of Game 1 is set for 7:10. Garrett Crochet will start opposite rookie Chase Burns. Here's your lineup for tonight. Jaron Duran leads off in left. Then it's Roman Anthony, your DH. Abraham Toro is at first. Carlos Narvaez, your catcher. Willy Abreu out and right with Trevor Story at short. Marcelo Meyer is back at third base. He was activated from the bereavement list earlier today with David Hamilton at second and Seydon Rafaela out in center field batting ninth. Nick Sogard was also sent back down to AAA Worcester in the corresponding move for Meyer being activated. You can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with Joe Weil is tonight at 6:10, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. The Bruins made a number of signings over the last 24 hours. Among those, Murat Husnadinov, a 2-year extension worth $925,000 per year. You also have Michael Callahan, 1-year two-way contract, $775 per. Henry Jokiharju, 3 years at $3 million per. Johnny Beecher, a 1-year extension. Michael DiPietro, the goaltender, gets 2 years. And finally, and probably most importantly, Morgan Geekie signs a 6-year contract extension worth $5.5 million per year. NHL free agency opens up tomorrow at noon. Meanwhile, NBA free agency officially opens tonight at 6 p.m. At that time, teams can start negotiating with all free agents, but contracts cannot officially be signed until July the 6th. Luke Kornet, Al Horford headline, the Celtics pending free agents. And a blockbuster trade from the NFL earlier today, the Dolphins have traded 3-time All-Pro cornerback Jalen Ramsey and tight end Jonnu Smith to the Pittsburgh Steelers in exchange for 3-time All-Pro safety Micah Fitzpatrick and a draft pick swap. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons live from Fenway Park coming up right after this.